Well, I was thinking of the last two sermon titles, Anxiety and Despair. And it kind of hit me, you can probably tell I'm not in the marketing business. You know? That doesn't exactly draw you in, right? But one of the things that we've been thinking about with this Lent, if you remember last time I talked about maybe one of the kind of derivations of the word Lent is from the old English word to lengthen. It comes when the days begin to lengthen. And we want to think about how do we lengthen our souls. And one of the ways that we really lengthen our souls is by dealing with the emotional realities that often have an impact on our spiritual lives. And kind of the catchphrase I gave you last week was, what would it look like to welcome feelings as friends? To really, when they come upon you, not to be controlled by them or overwhelmed by them, but to really welcome them as something that is there for you. Hello, anger. Remember that? Hello, worry. Nice to see you today. Now, I know that that's unrealistic that you would actually do that. But I do think that if we can learn to see it, say it, and release it, our feelings can be something that adds great depth to our spiritual life, not something that we have to run counter. And that certainly, I think, last week we talked about anxiety, and this week we're going to talk about despair. And we're going to talk about it by really kind of digging deeper into Psalm 42. And I think Psalm 42 helps us see a couple things about despair that might be important. Number one, I think it helps us see what exactly is it and what might it have for us. What exactly is despair and what might it have for us? And we'll be looking again at Psalm 42. Again, I love this Anglican thing because it makes me use words I don't usually normally use, and despair just happens to be one of them. I don't walk around with the word despair on my tongue, but it's a wonderful word. And I looked it up again, and it literally comes from two words that means to come down from hope. To come down from hope. It's that experience where all of a sudden kind of a profound loss of a sense of hope in your life. You know, last Saturday night, Maryland beat Duke, and there was a lot of hope in the land. And on Tuesday night, they lost to Boston College, and there was a lot of despair in the land, right? There was a coming down from a sense of potential March Madness hope, right? That we all experienced. But the loss of hope, I mean, that's kind of a trivial example, right? But you experience this, right? We all do. And I love how the psalmist kind of lays it out. He says that when you experience this, it's like a deep sense of longing. Look what he says. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? There is this profound sense of longing because so much of what the psalmist had hoped in and wanted, he was lacking. And if you've ever been in a season of despair, you know exactly what he's talking about. Hope has sort of left the building. And we all hit these seasons, and I think some more severe than others. And we talked about it. You know, there's all sorts of realities with anxiety and with despair, and I'm sure in this room right now, you know, some are struggling deeply with a sense of despair and depression and you know, a sense of hopelessness. And one of the amazing things about the Bible is that it doesn't hide from that. you know, it understands. And I think one of the great challenges is the Bible acknowledges that we will go through from time to time seasons of despair. And the question is, can we see it and acknowledge it? Because to lose hope, to feel that sense, it's a profoundly threatening thing. And it's a scary thing. And it can be a very difficult season to wander in. And so there's probably a lot of denial or hiding or wanting, you know, feeling guilty about it or wanting to push it under the rug or just act like it's not there. But the Bible seems to say, you know, there will be these seasons. Can you see it? Can you acknowledge it? What would it look like for you to see it and acknowledge it? So despair is that profound sense of a loss of hope. But what exactly does it have for us? What can despair teach us? One thing that I think despair does a great job of teaching us is it teaches us where our hopes have been misplaced. See, if despair is a profound sense of a loss of hope, then one gift that it can bring to us, although it may not be one we experience as a gift, but sometimes it can help us see that maybe we had placed our hope in the wrong bucket. There is, as painful as it is, there is a kind of clarity to despair, is there not? You know, you kind of just see through everything. And there's a sense of clarity, and you can kind of see, well, you know, what's the point? Why do this? I mean, I honestly think that's one of the reasons probably why a lot of our great artists struggle more deeply with this sense of despair than, you know, typical sports talk, you know, guy, which I happen to be more the sports talk guy than the artist. But I do think that the people that sort of see the world with all its clarity can sometimes struggle from a sense of despair. You know, good fortune is a fickle thing. It can show up and it can be great and it can kind of blind you to kind of the realities of life, but then it can all of a sudden disappear. You lose that job. You get a report back from the doctor that's not good. You know, your teenager acts in a way that you just never thought that they would act. And all of a sudden, there's this sort of clarity about the fragility of life. And oftentimes, a sense of despair that goes with it that can be very difficult to wrestle with. But I think God allows despair at times into our lives because despair forces us to find what is real. Again, look at what the psalmist says. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with Him? These things, he says, I remember as I pour out my soul. How can I go, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession in the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Like, God, I remember that, God. Like, I remember those days when I used to just celebrate you, when I remembered who you were. And you know, I've lost this sense of hope and my soul is thirsting for you, God. I need to find what is real again. One of the gifts of the seasons of despair is that it forces you to really find and discover what is real. And when you do that, you cry out and you long for God. But there's one other, I think, unique observation into the nature of despair that this psalmist gives us great insight into. Because again, I feel like when I get in these seasons or these funks, there's something unique about despair, kind of like anxiety in the same way, is that it sort of defines you. You ever notice like happiness and joy, like they just kind of come on you like a nice sweater or something, you know, and you just kind of wear them versus like despair and anxiety, they just move in, you know? They move in and they take over. And it's very difficult to not begin to believe that you are despair. That's what you think. And I love what the psalmist does here. He actually talks to himself. And he says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why are you down?" And believe it or not, this is a brilliant psychological move. Because what he's saying is, I acknowledge that I feel this way. I admit that I am in a state of despair. I feel hopeless. I feel like life is pointless. I kind of see life as fragile and empty. I admit it, but you know what? There's something even more true about me than that feeling. And so I'm going to say, soul, why are you in despair? Now, he's not mocking his soul. He's not attacking it. He's making this brilliant move where he's sort of like realizing there's something more to him than the emotion that he feels. See, the problem with the despair is it's sort of like cynicism. You feel like you see through everything. But I love how C.S. Lewis said it so well. He says, if you see through everything, you end up seeing nothing. And the point is to, the healthy state of despair is to help you see through everything, to help you find God, to see God, to really move, what I would say, to move from a state of whatever, right? Whatever, to what if? Like, what if, you know, what if God's really there? Like, what if God really loves me? And he discovers that. He looks there. He says, deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. You need hope. Despair is like death. And I think the psalmist helps us see that we need to anchor our hopes in the love of God. You are not your despair. You are not what you're feeling. You are a loved child of God. And that is what is ultimately true about you. We find our hope in God and God alone, because think of some of the things that are true about God that are true about nothing else. God created everything. God knows us. God forgives us. He alone can offer us eternal life, not just temporal life here on earth. He came among us. He reconciles us. He gives us a purpose and a mission. He promises us his Spirit to come inside of us and to lift our souls out of the depth. God alone is the anchor of hope that you look for in the sea of despair. Despair is a reality. Maybe some of you are struggling with it. Maybe you're not right now. But it is good to know, is it not, that there is an anchor for our souls. Amen?